Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to be expanding a little bit beyond what I've already said about my theory that the communists crashed the stock market in 1929 to cause the Great Depression. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So, the communists, I believe, they crashed the stock market. I don't believe that they just did it to get the New Deal programs they wanted. But I also believe that it was a recruitment strategy for them, too. So, buckle your seatbelts. Let's get started. So, the first thing to consider is that, as we know, the Great Depression began in November of 1929, after the stock market crashed. The communists, the smartest of them, knew they couldn't start a violent revolution here in America and get everything they wanted all at once, because the people obviously didn't know and or couldn't have known a lot of the things that would come out of the Soviet Union at this point. But the Russian Revolution had happened like 12 years ago at this point. This was Russian Revolution happened in 1917. Great Depression starts in 1929. So I'm sure that at least some people back then had probably heard about at least the big stuff, like the Tsar being overthrown, his family being killed, Stalin coming into power, that kind of thing. I don't know exactly how many people would have heard about that, but I'm sure at least some of them did. You also have to think that, again, this is 1929 we're talking about. World War I ended in 1918. So, and the U.S. entered it in 1917. Around the same time that Russia left it, actually. So, that means there had been 12 years between the end of, between the Communist Revolution and the start of the Great Depression, and 11 years between the end of World War I and the start of the Great Depression. Which means that neither of those things would have been distant memories for people. I mean, I'm sure many of you know someone who knows someone, at least, if not know someone who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. I can't think of anybody I know personally that I'm like that I'm close to, but I have definitely heard of people going to or coming from Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not like it's Pearl Harbor, you know. Obviously, it's a not too distant memory. We pulled out of Iraq in 2010, I think, or somewhere around there, 2009 or 2010, one of the two. Which means now we're in 2025, so that's about the same time frame as, you know, Iraq. So for these people, World War I was like how Iraq is for us. And you also have to consider that, unlike in Iraq, there was a draft in World War I. There were drafts in World War I, World War II, the war between the states, and the Korean and Vietnam conflicts. So a larger percentage of the population would have served in World War I per capita than served in Iraq. Well, a larger percentage served not only because of the draft, but I think also volunteer numbers were also larger than they are now for joining the military. So more people knew someone who had served over there, and more people had served over there themselves in World War I. Which means that, you know, if the communists had launched a violent revolution, you know, it would have definitely caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. And I think I probably don't even need to fully elaborate that, because I'm sure you can fill in the blanks there. And then you also have to consider that the communists knew that even if they peacefully tried to take over everything, they couldn't get everything that they wanted all at once, because a lot of the things they proposed were not popular. Even a lot of the New Deal programs were not something that people had already been clamoring for exactly before the Great Depression. And the communists also, at least the smartest of them who were doing this, also knew that that if they caused such an economic downturn, or if one came along for some other reason, that if somebody's drowning, they're going to seek any lifeline they can. So if everybody's starving and unemployed and whatnot, homeless, and you promise you're going to help them, even if your policy is bad policy in the long run, they're not going to be thinking about that because they're drowning. So if you're offering a rope to help rescue them out, that's all they're going to be thinking about is, get me out of this. I'm drowning. So I know that's a bit of a mixed metaphor there because drowning versus starving, but you know what I mean. They knew that if people were desperate enough because the economic situation had degraded sufficiently, that they could get at least large portions of what they wanted, if not everything they wanted. Because they could convince the population to vote in somebody who would pass those kinds of things and who would not let himself be so hampered by little things like the Constitution. And that was definitely the case with FDR. He was definitely very tyrannical, and a lot of his policies were the same kind of policies that you would want if you were a socialist, but you knew that you couldn't get full-blown socialism all in one go. And so that would be a big part of why they did that, was so that they could get at least a head start on the kinds of programs that they wanted, even if they couldn't get everything they wanted all at once. Because that could then set the stage for later increases to the programs and a reconditioning of the population to accept a bigger role of government in their everyday lives. And so there's that. However, the introduction of these social programs, of the New Deal and whatnot, is not the only reason the communists crashed the stock market to cause the Great Depression. They also did so because it was a recruitment tactic on their part. Wikipedia says that membership in the Communist Party was below 20,000 until 1933, which, as you would guess, 1933 was right in the middle of the Great Depression. And then, starting in 1933, membership started to go way upward, skyrocketed, until 1939, it was 66,000. Now, from 20,000 to 66,000 is a 330% increase in membership. Not only that, it gets better. The membership, or I guess worse, if you're someone who does not like communism, but if you're a communist, it gets even better for you, because membership in your party then would go from 66,000 to 75,000 between 1939 and 1947, also according to Wikipedia, which I understand Wikipedia is not always the best source, but when I Googled it, that's what came up. So, based on that, you know, that's a, that 20,000 to 66,000 is a 330% increase in a decade from 1929 to 1939. And then an extra 9,000 would join in the following 8 years from 1939 to 1947, which 8,000 is another 40% of 20,000. So, from 20,000 to 75,000, that is a 370% increase in Communist Party membership over the course of less than 20 years. Now, membership would end up going back down because of, you know, the Red Scare and a bunch of other things later. However, you do have to think that perhaps this was, at least in part, a recruitment strategy on their part. I think the New Deal stuff was a bigger motivation for them to crash the stock market. But you can't ignore the recruitment bonus they gained from it. So, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's J-E-S-S-E-A-S, firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next time and pass this along to anybody you know who might be interested. And have a blessed day.